this wonderful event, this very moving event, because it's so the power of the Masechta and the power of the actual coming of Yom Kippur. They're working in synergy over here. It's a little bit overwhelming, but it's amazing. We actually should get Saba Josh to give us a shofar blast just to get things going. He always carries around a shofar in his back pocket.
You want to hear it?
Other people have Swiss knives and telephones and so on.
Laptops.
Even laptops. This is not for foreign consumption, Richard.
No.
Thank you. Definitely sets the mood problem. We've spoken in the past, I think we had our siyum on Shkolim about the nature of Kochim appearing in Moed, pointing out that Moed is very related to the whole idea of the Oel Moed. And indeed, the Moadim are introduced in the Torah and given over us always interwoven with the dinim of the Korbonos on the Moed, so that the building of an Oel Moed is fundamentally related to the Moadei HaShana. So in Psochem, we had so many Kochim issues. In Shkolim, we spoke about even the Trumat HaMishkan, which was the beginning of the Veshachanti B'tochan. Now we reach a different level of the Veshachanti B'tochan in terms of the continued maintenance of the presence of the Mishkan, which is the Achat B'shana, which is what the word Yoma means, that day, that one day of the year, the Achat B'shana that provides the potential for a Mishkan that will be Shocheni Tam B'toch Tumotam. Without that day, that would allow... open up that door. Without the day...
It's better than a jacket.
Huh? I think there's more noise from the kids than from the air conditioner.
Yes.
Close.
All right, okay.
Nice.
I'm Nate.
Yeah, but
it's...
No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but one's cooler. AC is better.
Song of...
Okay. Very good.
Children playing is a little
wild,
right?
Just more comfortable.
All right, so here we're basically dealing with the Masechet that not only is the general issue of Moed in the Moedei HaShana, but actually goes back to the very inception of the Mishkan itself, and, as we'll see, and it allows us for the continued presence of the Mishkan in an imperfect world. That's why we find so many of the basic descriptions of the Mishkan here in the Sugya. Even the words, the Atse Shitim Omdim, which were the opening words of that define the nature of the Mishkan, which Chazal express here in the Masechta, Shema Tomar Avat Sivram Batel Zekuyam. You may think that the Mishkan is all over, and it's in the past, it will never be rebuilt. Talmud Lomar Atse Shitim Omdim Shamdim La'ad Olamei Olamim. This is basically stands at the roots of everything. So because of that, we have all of the prote dinim that went into the actual, even the construction of the Mishkan. There's no place else where we could find out the way in which the threads were manufactured, the number of threads that go into the Tchelet, the Argaman, the Tolat HaShani, the Sheish, the definition of what Moshzar is when it comes to the Parochet, when it comes to anything else, the difference between Maaseh Rokev and Maaseh Choshev, the way that the Rimonim are constructed on the Me'il, the question of the Limudim, the way that Aaron Abanav put on these Bigdei Kuhuna the first time. We even go through that. And the Isurim, the Choshen, and the Mishpat, and the Lo Yizach HaChoshen, the Alaifot. This Masechta is the place where we have all those fundamental explanations of Psukim that occurred in the context of the actual Asiyas HaMishkan. Not only the Mishkan, but we continue on to discuss the Dinim of the Mishkan in its further formats, which is the Migdash, of course, that we have over here. Not only the Migdash, its placement, the idea of the what Tzion is, what the Evan Ashasiyah is, and the Orein, and the Gnizas Orein. But we have the Mishkan even in its Churban, and with the whole discussion of Reish Lakish, what the reason for the Churbanos are, and the all of these, the elements of what could have been done and what should have been done. And then we have the way in which the Geniza Azara and the Machloekes, where exactly, how exactly was the Oran Gonus, all of that is part of the preparation for Churban. But we also have, of course, Binyan, the ultimate Binyan. We have the story of the Mayan, the water that's going to break forth out of the Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim, will become now a mocker of rehydrating Eretz Yisrael. We go through over here the Tzura of the Beis HaMikdash. We actually measure each Amma of the Chotzer, east to west, north to south, the topography. We analyze its relationship to Har HaZeitim, exactly where one would be standing. It's remarkable. Things that otherwise, I mean, the whole Masechet that are dedicated, we have both Tamid and Midos, but elements that occur over here that put together Tamid and Midos. You remember back in the beginning of the Masechet, we actually deal with contradictions between the Mishnayos of those two Masechetas. We define them and we add to them and so on. So we have over here the description of the Shulchanot and the Nanasim and the positioning of the Mizbeach according to all of the various Shitas. We have over here the Seder of the Maaroch, Alibet Gemara, which becomes so definitive of what's done every single day. The Payasot is even the Shita. Remember that the Payasot didn't even occur on Yom Kippur. Nonetheless, our Masechta is the place in which all the various Payasot are defined. Very, very fundamental description of the nature of Mikdash, Mishkan, and the actual construction. Not only the story of the Dinim, but the actual event. Because this, of course, the mocker of the whole Masechta, is it starts off with that fundamental Kasher Asar B'Yom Hazeh Tziva Hashem La'asot L'chaper Alechem, which means that the very day of the Ha'amadat HaMishkan and Yom Shmini L'Miluim, that was already the day in which Yom HaKippurim was destined to be. Kasher Tziva, as I commanded you today, this is the way it's going to be. L'Doreis Tziva Hashem La'asot L'chaper. At the moment that those words were said, we didn't even know why all that would be necessary. Those words basically were a harbinger of what was going to come, which was the death of Nadav Avihu, the translation of that death into Acharei Mot Shnei Bnei Aharon, the Acharei Mot Shnei Bnei Aharon into all of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. The special korbanos that were brought on that day became the korbanos of Yom HaKippurim. The keteres that Nadav Avihu brought themselves became the permanent keteres of Yom HaKippurim. So that the day was destined, and it was destined basically not only from that moment, but the truth is, it was destined already from the other element that shows up in our Masechta. It was destined from Har Sinai. Because the events on Har Sinai included Nadav Avihu's death warrant. Because on Nadav Avihu it says, at that moment, Vayochlu Vayishtu Vayachazu Et Elokim Vayochlu Vayishtu. So that actually, as Chazal tell us, the Gezerah was at that moment that they violated the nature of the boundaries of Har Sinai, which were so fundamental to Har Sinai. And in violating those boundaries, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, look, I don't want to ruin the celebration. What I'll do is, I'll ruin my own celebration, which will be the day of the building of the Mishkan. That becomes the Tzenor Ena V'Not Zion V'Melech Shalomo V'Yom Chatudato V'Yom Simchat Libo, which becomes the Chatunah that he was referring to. But as Rashi says, the Chatunah was now moved, so that Har Sinai is no longer the day of Kabbalat HaTorah, Yom HaKippurim is. So that means the same Gezerah that happened to Nadav Avihu on Har Sinai, which was the mocker. Remember this, Mandi Omer holds that the mocker of the Prisha, the Kohen Gadol, is not from the death of Nadav Avihu, it's from Har Sinai itself. It's not from the 7 days that Aaron was perished, which end up becoming the 7 days of Avelut. It's rather the 7 days, that was the machlokas that we have here, that Moshe was perish, 6 days really, we talk about why here at seven, that he was perish, lamarek achila b'shviya shebetoch meyav, in order to be mekabel the Torah, be'ema, be'yira, be'retetu, be'zeya, as the Gemara puts it. So that means that we draw the halachas from Masechta from both events in that Acharei Mot Shnei Bnei Aharon. The Kilkulim on Har Sinai itself. Doctor? The Kilkulim in Har Sinai itself, which is the beginning, the first element of Prisha, and the Kilkulim at the Mishkan, which was a further, exactly the same idea, breakdown in boundaries, going inside, when the words with Sivita go inside, just as on Sinai. Both cases teach us dinim of prisha, the emergent quality of the chag, of the moed, that comes out of these events is Yom HaKippurim, which becomes a tziva Hashem la'asos lechaper aleichem, which of course has one other remez. One is the kasher asah is a remez to Yom HaKippurim, and the tziva la'asot is pura, which is why the Masechta is full of all of the pura aduma issues. Because the same events on Har Sinai that began with the breakdown of Nadav Avihu ended up with the Egel. It was the Egel which was the direct causes belli, so to speak, of Yom HaKippurim. The Shviras HaLuchais became Yom HaKippurim and the regiving of the Luchais, the Solachti for that Maisa, and the Tikkun of the Maisa of the Egel, which resulted in mortality and in a sense of failure, which gave us the posik that's brought here in the Masechta. Ani amarti Elohim atem uvnei al yom kuchem. I wanted you to be immortal. I wanted you to be able to eat man. I wanted you not to have to defecate the way animals defecate. Achein ki Adam, you want to act as Adam did, and you want to search for death, tumutun. So then that shall be your lot. But that achein ki Adam tumutun, indeed, what do we do for that tumutun, for the tumat mate? The paradum is the only thing that addresses it. The Chazal tell us, the egel, the child, messed up the world. So it's like a shifka. The child vomits all over the floor. So they call the mother and let her fix it up. So year two, the pora becomes now the tikkun of the egel. And of course, all of the issues of Yom HaKippurim essentially deal with kapora. So that the idea of the tikkun of the source of sin, which is egel, ends up relating to as the pora in every kapora. There's something about the nature of Parah Aduma that is fundamentally connected to the idea of Kapora, and therefore is all of the dinim of the Parah Aduma. The Ani Amarti, Amarti Achkama, Virchoka, that is part of our Masechta, fundamentally. Again and again, we've seen it many, many contexts, both from the dinim of Prisha, then the question we have to decide what the Halach is Arlegabi Elazar, the Deira is only in that door. And then the other questions, the size of the same thing as of course we have on Yom Kippur, of the red Lashon, Shal Zahuris, that appears with both of them. The way that the Sara Mishtaleach and the Sara Lashem have to be the same comes through in all of those sugyas as well. Fascinating issues. Okay, and of course once we're at Har Sinai, I mean, the other element that comes out strangely throughout the Masechta, and that gave such a dramatic ending to the Masechta today, is the issue, again, the pun, but the issue of caring. And the problem over there is, again, the only two places, a fascinating thing, but the only two places where such a big deal is made out of caring is at Har Sinai, in which we have the whole arrangement of Har Sinai to be built around the viability of sperm, which is a very strange concept. So we need 72 hours so that there shouldn't be any living sperm at Har Sinai. It's just nuts. We're not mocked by any other tumah, and so this is a big deal. And then Yom HaKippurim, the whole Yom HaKippurim, the Hachonah for Yom Kippur, keeping the Kohen HaGadol up all night long, and the insane off chance that the guy's going to be Raya Keri, having a guy in preparation beforehand, so that there's always somebody standing by, and the Masechta's ending with going to the mikvah on Yom Kippur. Good thing, bad thing, but the whole thing is wild. These are the issues. Take us all the way back to our Sinai itself, and of course, along with it, the elements of Moshe Rabbeinu's presence and the Torah that was given on Har Sinai. Here we have those dinim as well. The Masechta revolves around the contrast in two places, Pura and Yom HaKippurim again. Talmidav shel Moshe, lafuke tzedukim, and we go through the whole ceremony to be mashbiyahim. Don't bring it the way that tzedukim are not, Talmidav shel Moshe bring it. Same thing we do, the whole Pura Aduma is again very strangely chomur, because we have to be makel in order to prove that our Moshe is right, not the tzedukim, who say that it has to be done by Torah. So no, it doesn't have to be done with the tarif, it's a tful yom. So therefore, we bedafka make it betuma, and because of that, we have to do everything super, super tahor, besides what we do not tahor. A strange, very, very strange kind of thing. Both of them stressing the presence of Moshe, obviously the man, the Zeis HaTorah, Sam Moshe, the dangers of Torah, the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah is both poisonous and also an elixir of life. The dinim of Kriya from the Sefer Torah are here, with the Meturgaman, and how far you could skip, and whether it's a pagam in the Sefer Torah, can you take out two Sefer Torah, the competition of Sefer Torah, the beauty of the Sefer Torah, all of this, so fundamentally a part of the dinim of the Kriya of Yom HaKippurim. Then we have, of course, the beautiful sugya about the Oren HaBris itself, that is inside and outside Zohar, which teaches us the way that the Talmud Chacham Shem Tochol Kivoro is not considered to be a Talmud Chacham with all of its implications. And the Torah, of course, goes hand in hand with Sinai, with the Chet HaEgel, with the Chukei HaTorah, Zois Chukas HaTorah, which is Parah Adama, and that's the, basically, all of them come together, because the only way, if you recall the whole ending of the Masechta, the only way that we get to the issues of Kapora, of Teshuvah, of the Gidrei Kapora, of the Dinim, of do you have to be Masker Chet when you're saying Vidui, or you don't, where do we learn it from? Moshe Rabbeinu's prayer for the Tikkun of the Egel. Chata Amazeh, Chata Agadolah, and so on. We darshan from there. Nemar b'Sinai, Tshuva v'Dakei. So therefore we know that you always have to have, basically, the Din of Tshuva, together with the Amira Vidui and so on, the Machlokas of whether you need that Vidui on Yom HaKippurim or not. Do you need to be Maskir, the specific Chet, or not? All of these are issues that come directly from that primal failure, which is the failure of the Egel, and it's coming to be addressed here on Yom HaKippurim. Now, it's addressed in a very strange way, because Lamaisa, the taking care of the Egel on Yom Kippur, is not done through ending Ra. It's not done through ending mortality. We do discuss the attempt at ending Ra right here, obviously. Because since the issue of Yom HaKippurim is to deal with the underlying roots of evil, so it comes here to tell us what happened at the time of the building of the second Beit HaMikdash, when Avodah Zarah was still going on and was rampant. And so they fasted, and remember the Cheres comes down from the heavens, signed Emet, time to get rid of the Yetzer Hara. That Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah was found in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, if you recall. So that means when we're describing the nature of Yom HaKippurim and its provision for the Egel, the presence of the Egel in the presence of the Mishkan, it's not surprising to find that that which allows the Shriyas, Ashras HaShchina, B'toch Tumotam, is going to be dealing with a Ra that is intimately associated with Ashras HaShchina. There is no true Avodat Shamayim unless the Egel is inside the Kodesh HaKadosh. That's a very, very surprising thing. As we know, that when that Tzeduki indeed did go into the Kodesh HaKadosh and brought the Ketoret in the wrong way, all that we heard was a thump and found a hoof print of an Egel between his shoulder blades, with the man dead on the floor. So that means that so fundamental to the nature of the Mishkan is that it's not, we're not looking at it as a compromised Mishkan because it's Shocheni Tam B'toch Tumotam. That seems to be the essence of the Mishkan. And the day which now leads to the Mishkan's presence within Klal Yisrael is a very strange day which somehow seems to accept the inevitability of sin and of Ra, because it's only coming to achieve Achas B'Shana. And that's why it's called Yoma, the day. A day that makes everything else work. But the things that are working are B'toch Tumotam, those by definition. What's even more dramatic is that the attempt to destroy the Yetzer Hara for sex met with failure. And the Gemara tells us the essence of Yom HaKippurim is that it's bound up with sexuality, because it comes to be metakein aza v'azayel. Not surprisingly, as Reb Tzadik points out, I mean, not surprisingly, the focus on keri as being a fundamental issue of brit is linked to a Yom HaKippurim that deals with sexual drives from the time of Aza v'Azayel. The very fact that the Gemara says this couldn't be addressed and that it would have meant the end of reproduction, that they tried, couldn't find a fresh egg after 3 days, that they had to accept it, means that Dashochenitam B'Tov Tumatam indeed meant an acceptance. And they recognized that there was nothing to do, and this became part of the essence of what Yom HaKippurim is. So, okay, so because of that, indeed, we have this constant back and forth in the Masechta between attempts at tikkun and their wreckage, between binyan and its wreckage, between an aron and its gniza, between a mishkan that fails and an ultimate mishkan, a mikdash that ends up bringing taira to the world for nidos, for yoldos, and so on, and Beit David himself. And then we have, because of that, the back and forth, the literal back and forth of Yom HaKippurim. It's a constant back and forth issue, which is exactly, doctor, it's exactly the nut of Aviyah problem, is this issue, inside and outside. We keep going inside, then going through elaborate ceremonies of washing the hands, going to the mikveh, washing the hands again, putting on the other bekudim, and then going outside, and then again washing the hands, going to the mikveh, washing the hands, going back inside. If there's anything that makes it awfully clear that boundaries are meant to be boundaries, even, as the Gemara puts it, forget about between a makom that is chulin and a makom kadesh, even between lifnim and lifnai v'lifnim, there's nothing that so dramatically does that as the Asara Kiddushin and the Chomesh Tfilos and the Hakpada on the fact that the way a person appears and what the Kohen Gadol is in terms of his dress, is he still living with the Egel, which is why his clothing is golden? Or must he in fact achieve a level in which there cannot be any remiss to that golden Egel, and all of his gold has to be removed? His begotten become very simple bigdei lavan, as the egel itself was replaced by the kruvim. He goes in without any zov bein kruvim to bring that same keteretz, which is now mitaken the problem of confusing pnim v'chutz, and which follows, as we point out again, even in the Masechta, all of the dinim of shchutei chutz to mean only that which is mekubel bifnim. Is there a din of shchutei chutz literally? And that's the whole Gemara's question about the Seir Anasa B'chutz, its relationship to doing an Avoda B'chutz on that thing. Is it considered to be Mekubal B'fnim? And so on. Not only is there the back and forth elements, which is probably the most dramatic aspect, is the two people that stand there on Yom HaKippurim. One who is ready to go to hell, essentially. He's going to the devil. When we use the word La'azazel in modern Hebrew, say go to hell, La'azazel. Because in fact it's a hell worship, a demon worship, as the Ebenezer points out, that if you count the number of letters, he's Marabi. He says, look, I can't spell this out to you, but when you're 33, you'll understand. If you count 33 words, you get to Veloy Kavod the Sirim. Don't, Kal Yisrael will stop bringing their karbanas to the devils. And that's the idea of the Azazel, is elements of Aveda Zara, which in the Mishkan are retained with the Lifnai v'Lifnim, elements of Aveda Zara in the Mishkan, which are here expressed b'chutz. So on the one hand you have the Ishiti, who's a little bit off of his rocker, as the Medrash says, he's not a normal person, and he's going out in one direction. And on the other one you have the Kohen Gadol, who has been porush for 7 days to be able to go Lifnai v'Lifnim. And literally, I mean, the two things that connect these two people need to be precisely the same, matched up. Only the only thing that distinguishes between them is basically the goral. It's the hand of fate. Nobody defines that difference. It's precisely the way it has to be, and is left like that to the hands of a goral that comes down and defines who exactly is who. The two of them meet on Yom Kippur, one of the beautiful stories of our Masechta. The two of them meet on Yom HaKippurim, and the Ishiti, who's coming back from his contact with Tuma on Yom Kippur and throwing it off the cliff and death with all that it represents, says to the Kohen Gadol, He says, remember, my dear Kohen Gadol, Mechaye Chaim Asinu Shlichuto. He who gives life to the living, we both did his commandment. As if to say, you bifnim, me bachutz, but let's not forget that both of us basically were acting as the same shlichim for HaKadosh Baruch. Now in that lies a fantastic indication of what seems to be going on here in Yom HaKippur. Because it's clear that the pnim v'chutz element are fundamentally related to not only pnim v'chutz in the Mishkan, not only the pnim v'chutz between the Mishkan and the five of the Sar Lazazel, but the ultimate pnim v'chutz, which is the pnim of Yom HaKippurim and Kedusha itself, an environment of pnim, in which there is no room for Zav and Egels and so on, and Chutz, which is the Tuma which surrounds us all the time. So it was HaShocheni Tam B'Tok Tumotam demands of us that continued interaction between two levels of reality, in which the Yoma, the day, provides something special which allows us to survive the rest of the time. It's the interaction between the two that's fundamental. Even to the point at the very end of the Masechta, in which we can't even say whether Keri, which on Har Sinai we viewed as a complete violation of destiny, because the idea of Keri is basically mikra, it's basically randomness, and it's a randomness that seems to run counter to meaning, because certainly, as Bilam points this out, which is also fundamentally related, but Bilam points this out, that you cannot have a world that is so innately predicated on the random and is based, its entire development of life is based on randomness that then becomes information because of its preservation through natural selection. You can't have a world like that and claim that it's Kodesh at the same time, because that randomness can only be built out of waste. And if you take a look at the universe, that's the most dramatic element of the universe, is waste. So incredibly wasteful is the universe. You take a look at the information that we would consider to be the important outgrowth of the universe. And what does it take to get that little bit of information? That little bit of information is basically enclosed in two places, human DNA and the Lifnai v'Lifnim of the Luchas HaBris and Sefer Torah. That's the sum total of information that we view as being the essence of Ma'aseh Bereishis. To get to that information requires 14 billion years of waste, an infinity, as far as we're concerned, of wasted galaxies, generations of stars, species by the millions that were and that are not, individuals by the hundreds of millions that simply have not registered on anybody's consciousness, all to get to the Bishvil Yochid She'asa Tshuva Meichlin Loi V'Lekol Olam Kulay. I mean, it's absolutely maddening. So he says, to say that the meaning is meaning that's innate in the Bria, when that information is just waste, and that's why Keri is so unbelievably important to the whole story. Because what Keri means is that information is as cheap as semen, which is as cheap as you could possibly get. To say that I'm taking something took 14 billion years to achieve, and you can simply throw it around as if it's meaningless, and it's all contained in an invisible cell which nobody cares about, and you're telling me this is meaningful, and so therefore when it comes to Har Sinai, where you're coming now to achieve your level of commitment to meaning, it's absolutely essential to avoid any aspect of wastage or even of accepting the death or the non-meaningfulness of such information. Comes along now Yom HaKippurim to assert the most remarkable thing, that the hand of the Goral, which allows you no say whatsoever, Lo Hashem Koveya Ala Goral Koveya, which becomes, by the way, in our Masechtas, the Remez, which becomes the ultimate randomness of Purim itself, which is here the Arizal's Remez of Yom Kippurim, means that they like Purim, is Merumez in the Masechet itself. The only 2 days that deal with randomness and goralot is basically Purim and Yom Kippurim. You have the Goral, and then you have the ultimate Goral. The day is called Purim, the day of the Goral. Here is Merumas in the context of Gulat Yisrael. Noma Nimshala Gulatam Yeshua Yisrael La Yelat Hashacha. That goes hand in hand with Lama Nimshala Esther La Yelat Hashacha. And Sof Kol HaNisim, which means the introduction, the reintroduction of randomness as opposed to what everybody thought was God's hand, and an acceptance in the context of real meaning, an acceptance of waste, and therefore, if that's the case, an acceptance of evil. A recognition that what we call evil is always in the service of ultimate tikkun under any and all circumstances. And what we see as wasteful and ridiculously an absurd and lazy way of creating a world, to let it sit around for 14 billion years till it figures itself out and manages to start making sense, that not only is that not meaningless, it's not even wasteful, because it's the only way in which a creation can achieve itself. Once we recognize that, that means we incorporate within the Yom Kippur aspect, the concept of tshuva as a given in Bria. Atzma Yom HaKippurim Mechaper is not because Yom HaKippurim is a day in which we counteract Ra. Atzma Yom HaKippurim is Mechaper because it's a day in which we recognize that there is nothing that is not in service of the ultimate emergence of the combination of those two beautiful sets of information, DNA and Torah, both, by the way, locked lifnai v'lifnim, in an inner nucleus, whether it's in a cell or whether it's in the cell, the membrane of Yerushalayim that surrounds the nucleus of the cell nucleus of the Mishkan itself, the lifnai v'lifnim, sits the information of the Torah itself. And those two things come together to achieve a vision of reality of the Yochid Sha'asa Tshuva. But what that means is that we now recognize that the nature of tshuva is not a compromise. In other words, what you would have to say if you believe that Yom HaKippurim is meant to be the kibush of evil is to say that indeed all of that is ruination. Thank God we have tshuva to fix everything up. But what Yom HaKippurim ends up proving is that we don't have tshuva to fix everything up, that the purpose of creation is tshuva. And in fact, this is what the remez is, it might separate itself, as Rashi brings, why was the world created with a hay? Behi bar'am. It was created with a hay because the bottom of the hay is open, so that it's so easy to fall out. The easiest thing in the world is to fall out. Everybody falls out. And why is there a little opening on the side? Because you can always get back in through tshuva. That means that the nature of how we describe reality is that creation is a creation of tshuva. Not that there was a wonderful creation which human beings happened to screw up terribly, and then God in his kindness gave us the ability to fix that by doing tshuva, and here we have a day that's miyukat to tshuva, Yom HaKippurim Achas B'Shana. Yes, there is such a vision. And in that vision, carry is a disaster. And someone who's roe carry on Yom HaKippurim better worry a whole year long, because obviously God wasn't interested in his Aveda. For him to be shayach to evil on Yom HaKippurim itself, a disaster. It's a completely different darga in which a person comes to true tikkun, in which it becomes clear that the nature of all of the ra that was done is only in that it becomes the enabler of tshuva, which is, of course, the shita that Rish Lakish explains. Zidonot nasot zechuyot. How possibly could eating a piece of chazer become the equivalent of eating a kezias of matzah on Pesach? Because the chazer is only called a chazer because it's meant to be chozer, say Chazal. So if the chazer can be chozer, then all of us chazerim can end up doing tshuva, and indeed be the essence of Zedonah's becoming Shagogos. That's precisely how. So on that Madrega, we have a completely different sense of Rias Keri. Where does that come from? That comes from the beautiful words of the Ish Iti who says to the Kohen Gadol. He says, why does he choose those words of all things? Mechayei Chayim Asir Shlichuto. Which triggers a whole discussion in the Gemara. What is that supposed to mean? Mechayei Chayim anyway, right? So, okay, so we talk about Shnot Chayim, V'chiyei Shnot Shel Chayim, V'shnot She'enam Shel Chayim, and the explanation, these are Shnotav Shel Adam, Amitapchot, Mira'a L'tova. Woo! Wait a minute, that sounds awfully familiar in terms of life and tshuva. Amitapchot, Mira'a L'tova, doesn't it? Suddenly things, all of a sudden you feel for the first time that you're really alive. And then, what are the Ba'artzot HaChayim? Rabbi Yehuda's incredible mimer. Zemakom Shvakim. So to be out, to live to shop, going out and shopping, that's to be able to sense the life of Yom HaKippur. This is what he has to say to Kohen Gadol. This is not a very strange thing to say. He spoke about the Marsha that points out that we're even Koveya the Broch of Borei Nefashot. So here you're talking about the creation of human souls. V'chesronam. It should have ended there. Al kol ma shebarata lahachayot. Mechayei chayim means, therefore, says the Marsha, the things that you don't need to live. V'chesronam are what you do need to live. But the mechayei chayim is al kol ma shebarata lahachayot. The gishmak of life. That we make a bracha on also. So now that's exactly what the Ishiti says to the Kohen Gadol. Yom HaKippurim. Mechayei Chayim. Well, Lemaisa, as we've pointed out before, the Tanchuma brings the nature of Mechayei Chayim as fundamental to the nature of Moed. Holidays. The fundamental relationship to holidays. Why? Because it asks there in the Tanchuma, in Maaseh Bereishis, the opening Tanchumas, what does a person say as a bracha when he builds a new home? It says a Shechiyanu. Why does he say a Shechiyanu? Shechiyanu, you'll notice, is the Lashon of Mechayeh, Mechayeh Chayim. It says a Shechiyanu because that way it makes God happy. Because after all, take a look at all of these holidays we have. Why does God give us the holidays? Because he wants us to have fun. So therefore, if he says that we dash this from miyamim yamima, Kodesh Baruch Hu says to us, did you have fun? Yamima. Then you should have fun next year too. If you don't have fun, heck with it. You might as well die. What do you need? I mean, the world is for having fun. And if you're not going to have fun, why do you have to live? So the haftakha of the Moadim is the Shecheyanu that we made, which is the Mechayei Chayim. One can lose track of that on Yom HaKippurim. Comes along the Ishiti and he says, I know that it's very possible to view Yom Kippur as a day in which we have clearly separated out. And you go inside and I go outside, and sometimes you're wearing these begadim, sometimes you're wearing other begadim, a lot of different personalities here. But I want you to remember one thing, Ishi Kohen Gadol. We both did the shlichut of the Mechayei Chayim. Ultimately, this is expressed in the whole idea of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is not a day which is usher to eat. And therefore that little tefillah that we say is not a nice tefillah. Yom sha'asur ba'achila v'shtiyah. Yom sha'asur b'dilas asando. Yom sha'asur b'tat. That's not the idea of the day. It's not a day that's usher ba'achila v'shtiyah. It's a day which is mechayev you to feel deprived because of achila v'shtiyah. It's a completely different idea. Tani Tisha B'Av is a day that's also about Chila V'Shtiyah. Yes. Yom HaKippurim is a day in which, first of all, Achila V'Kizayis is not us. That's the whole question. Is a Chatzis Shir? So that means Achila is not even us, or if you hold that Chatzis Shir is not us. Okay, Rish Lakish is made there. At least it's us in the Rabbanan. Certainly you're not going to characterize the day as a Yom Asr B'Chila V'Shtiyah. Why? What does that tell us? That Yom HaKippurim is a day it tells us that as long as you are living within Yom Kippur, you must feel the deprivation of not living in the world, which is unbelievable. If Yom Kippurim was coming to set a baseline for the way that a human being has to view life from the point of view of Olam Haba, So then it should tell us you're not allowed to eat. Because you're supposed to enter, basically. We always say, they stand like malachim. Don't require achila v'shtiyah. Like on our Sinai and Moshe Rabbeinu. But the fact is that the whole mitzvah is arranged to force us to feel the deprivation and not want to be someone who doesn't live in a world of achila v'shtiyah v'tash v'shamita and so on. Isn't that true? Which of course becomes very much our experience on Yom HaKippurim. That on the one hand we find ourselves infinitely attracted to a life of Hashem Hu Elokim, in which the Siluk HaShchina is a disaster, and yet at the same time there's a little voice underneath that's saying, okay, it's only another 10 minutes. It's an amazing contradiction, but it's a contradiction that's built of the essence of the day. Why? Because it's a contradiction that's based on the hay with which the world was created. It's a contradiction that's based on the recognition that what appears to be wasteful and evil ultimately is only part of a process that allows for the emergence of tshuva, which is what the world was for in the first place. And therefore, as the Mishnah puts it in Avos, Yofa Shah Achatz B'tshuva Meisim Tevim Be'olam Hazeh Mikol Chayei Olam Haba. So you've got it all backwards in one sense. If you look at the world as a way in which to get to Olam Haba, and therefore it becomes a list of things to do and an aesthetics of making sure that asceticism is what you look at as being important, and that's your concept of Kedusha, then you end up, says the Mishnah, missing a world that's infinitely greater. Infinitely greater. Put all of Olam Haba together, that every human being will have all through history, and compress it into one instant, and you have not yet achieved one instant of life at Olam Hazeh. It's an unbelievable assertion. It's saying that the tachlis, the development of this aspect that we call tshuva, is more an experience of existence on that level than everything else put together, including all of Olam Haba. What could be more astonishing, and what could be more indicative of the complex nature of the interrelationship of the Soyer LaHashem and the Soyer LaHazazel, of the Pnim and the Chutz? So on this level, the Mechaye Chaim level, what is the indication, ends the Masechta, the indication to you, whether basically are you living as a Mechaye Chaim, or as you're living with the guy who has to make sure that everything is right? Believe me, God has better things to do than to see to it that you ejaculate and have fun on Yom HaKippurim. So you would think, well, it's a little intimate, you know, you have to make me happy. The Gemara says, take a look, God makes him happy. But it's almost obscene. And yet that's exactly the point. On the level of Mechaye Chaim, as the Tanchuma says, God says, I don't give you bread, I shower you with man. That's why the man is a sugya right here in Yoma. You're showered with man. And that's basically the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu views life. It's a party. And he's showering us with good. Now the question is, your relationship to that good. So if someone lives as a Mechaye Chayim, and he knows, having lived through a year, that he's not fooling himself, then enough inami, he can look back at the Ra that took place, and he could say, the Zedainis that ended up bringing me to a tshuva, to a life of Ahava, was not a waste. Any more than carry on Yom HaKippur was a waste. It wasn't a waste. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was showing that wastefulness is fun, ultimately. And that the way in which we lead life needs to be a life of fun. And someone who wishes to retire on Yom HaKippurim will never achieve a shocheni tam betov tumotam. His solution is basically to withdraw and only have the pnim and not have the chutz, whereas the whole meaning of the Mishkan and the Mikdash is to allow the pnim to be mechaya the chutz, which becomes in the end the water that bursts forth from the Kodesh HaKodashim itself, waters the entire world, restoring its fertility and making Eretz Yisrael what it was meant to be when it was built around the Evan HaShtiyah, the Tzion Mechlal Yofi, all of the beauty of the world hidden within, again, that one place that expands outward as the information is translated, and exactly in the same way that Torah is meant to be that, the Samachayim and that with the closing words of the Masechet, semen is meant to be sage, maske, it's mechaye chayim. It's not just fertility in terms of personal reproduction. It's the essence of information that makes sense out of life as a whole. And on that level, what more beautiful thing could there be than to be Raya Kerev Yom HaKippurim? Those are the two contradictory faces of Yom HaKippurim, which need to go side by side. The Soyer LaHashem, the Soyer LaAzazel have to be precisely the same. Very important addition by Rabbi Barnea, a beautiful addition, which is that the dedication of the Beit HaMikdash took place on Yom Kippur, and they ate and drank on that Yom Kippur, and they were very worried maybe they did the wrong thing. So when they got home, everyone's wife got pregnant and had a little boy. Connecting all of the elements together. Mikdash, Yom Kippur, reproduction, fertility. Beautiful. Thank you very much, Rabbi. That's fantastic.